Good day, and welcome to the North West Company Inc. second quarter results. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Edward Kennedy, President and Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Kennedy, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator. Welcome to our second quarter conference call. With me is Amanda Sutton, our VP Legal and General Counsel, and John King, our EVP and CFO. Before I proceed with the call, Amanda will read our disclosure statement.
Thank you, Edward. Before we begin, I remind you that certain information presented today may constitute forward-looking statements. Such statements reflect North West's current expectations, estimates, projections, and assumptions. These forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance and are subject to certain risks, which could cause actual performance and financial results in the future to vary materially from those contemplated in the forward-looking statements. For additional information on these risks, please see North West Annual Information Form and its MD&A under the heading Risk Factors.
Thanks, Amanda. So welcome to our second quarter call. We're in Roadtown BVI, where we typically have our September board meetings in stores. And last year this time we were in Cambridge Bay, NWT, and last year this day was the Hurricane Irma hit the BVI and was quite devastating. So we're here a year later, and you're noticing the reconstruction that's underway and how all the islands. We were in St. Martin yesterday, and we had our store reopening on Saturday. And that island as well is on its path of reconstruction. Just from a financial standpoint, we are going to have some favorable numbers in the third quarter because, as we're heads down working on the business, we sometimes forget that what we were up against already a year ago, or only a year ago, and obviously our sales started to go south in these regions because of the store closures. Some of them were temporary, and unfortunately we've got a few that are still closed. But just a quick update on that. The remaining two in BVI, that was three still open in BVI. Two will be open now at the end of October. They're smaller stores, and a third one that's also a smaller store we've now put into next year. But we're pleased overall with the progress of our business in BVI. Our sales are comparing nicely even before we get into the non-comp, if you want to call it that, of last year. With the stores we do have open, we are capturing a significant part of the business that we had, and our wholesale business is also picking up nicely. So that's part of the story in the Caribbean. We're noticing that the reconstruction economy is quite significant. We started our trip in St. Croix, where we've got a very well-run store and an interesting market dynamic where, besides reconstruction, there's an expansion and reopening of a refinery. So the economic prospects in St. Croix are quite positive after a number of years of flat to sort of a downish situation. I'm just going to keep skipping across the Caribbean because part of the performance in the quarter was mixed in that regard. I mean, I'd say the highlights would be places like St. Croix and in BVI, across the BVI. St. Thomas, of course, our store isn't open, so that was the lion's share of the hit to the EBITDA on a non-comp basis. Barbados was disappointing in the quarter. That economy is a mixed bag of there's some stress in the government fiscal situation. There was a new store opened there earlier in the year, and I think that's a sizable store opened by Massey of Trinidad, and it has to cycle through the market. And there's been a lot of price competition as a result. We had excellent growth in Barbados up till this year, and we're giving some of that back now, at least on the margin side. So the delta on a store of that size in a business, the size of Costilas was a negative in the quarter. And the other market that was challenging for us was Guam. Nothing earth-shattering bad, but we were down slightly there. And again, we're looking for a bigger pickup in the economy as we continue to see the military presence and investment take place. But also there's more competition, not new competition, but just competitive intensity is fairly high right now with our mainstream supermarket competition. So we don't see that as something that's strategically a flaw in why we were in Guam at all, but it certainly was a factor in the quarter. There was some margin compression on promotional items in the quarter in Guam. So overall, we see the Caribbean is having a lot of upside. There's a lot of near medium term economic activity. Resiliency is a real important theme here. When you talk about pricing in the risk of climate change and major hurricane events, our store in St. Martin is now built to a Cat 6 level, which means we can withstand 170 mile hour winds. When you walk to the store and you see the extra riveting, the extra bracing and truss work, and you understand how that's so important, all of our stores in the Caribbean are going through that assessment. Of course, the ones being rebuilt are being built to those standards, so that we're here, come storms or not, and that we're resilient to serve the community. Because we're learning that post-hurricane, there is an economy, and it's actually an uptick in the economy through insurance proceeds and reconstruction, and you want to be one of those stores that's open. Not like the situation in St. Thomas where we're not. And I'm going to say that St. Thomas would be open today, would be a very successful contributor to our bottom line if we had structurally engineered that store to withstand the level of hurricane that the ones in St. Martin now can, and the other ones that we've rebuilt. I'm going to move past the Caribbean, of course, open for questions once I've wrapped up. Going across our banners, we had another, I mentioned the word, carefully, some unique events in the quarter, because my assessment starts with sales, and comp sales in our core northern businesses, Alaska and Canada, have been very good and continue to be strong. In Alaska, that was distorted by the closure of a very significant liquor operation in Bethel, Alaska. This is a unique event because we've never lost a liquor license. Sometimes you have community plebiscites and referendum that approve or disapprove whether the town allows liquor sales at all. In this case, we were the only liquor store in the community. It serves 53 villages, a trade area of about 20,000 people. And they decided the location was detrimental to the community. We didn't have a chance to change that or appeal the loss of license. There is a plebiscite in the community this fall as to whether there should be any liquor stores at all. And we respect totally that these decisions can be made, and we'll, of course, live with the results and adjust to them. Depending on the results of that plebiscite, if they approve liquor sales, then we'll apply for a license in a different location and likely tie that into a new convenience store, actually. If we don't, then it's going to be a business that'll be gone, at least for the foreseeable future. But it certainly had, and the only thing I'm talking about is it did have a material impact on Alaska commercial sales and an operating margin for the quarter. So that'll carry forward. We'll live with that until we cycle through it and keep adjusting and adapting. I'm looking to find a few more stores in Alaska to not just offset, but just because that's what we do. But the more important theme for me is that we are seeing decent 3% type comp sales. We're seeing pretty good reconstruction in Alaska, not tied to natural disasters, just because there are monies through the various federal departments tied to capital projects, the most significant of which is a $350 million hospital being built in Bethel, Alaska, the same community that we lost a liquor license in. So we do see Alaska overall, the permanent fund dividend being flat to last year, the state's fiscal situation being stable with higher oil prices, and generally speaking, it to be a stable retail market for us. The next market that we like right now a lot is if you want to say a core business, would be the core of the core, would be our Northern Canada business. We're running very good comps there, and we see that continuing. There's been more investment in the north, government-driven investment, and some resource investments, particularly in Nunavut. And we're able to take advantage of that with stores. Our store investments in top markets has certainly helped. We had two top market openings, both very successful in the quarter in northern Manitoba, Garden Hill, Manitoba, and Shamattawa, Manitoba. We also opened a store that was destroyed by fire. And the flip side to these sales numbers is some hits to our operating margin. We had wildfires in northern Manitoba, and with warmer, drier seasons, we're seeing spring and fall forest fires. And some might recall that last Q3, we also had major evacuations from northern Manitoba in the, at the same time in the month of September that we had these hurricanes in the Caribbean. The wildfires I'm referring to were in Q2 in the spring, and they were, again, evacuations of four communities. What happened here that was different was that the hydro lines were burnt, so the power was gone, and that meant we lost a lot of product, perishable product, as well as the sales of community members who were out of the community for several weeks, depending on the community. So we had that hit to our bottom line. We also had a store that was destroyed by fire in the quarter that we rebuilt quickly, but for a period of 3 months, we were out of business. When I say rebuilt, I mean we took the store and put it back into a second site we had in the community in Port-Jalash. And I think they did an excellent job repositioning that store at a very affordable price, and we're now back in business and ready to roll. But between the wildfires and that particular and that fire, which was an electrical fire, we had disruptions in northern Manitoba, Saskatchewan, that affected our northern Canada business. The last point I mentioned in northern Canada that nothing to do with the sales momentum we have is we decided to reclassify some positions in our stores from salary to hourly, and you know, doing an adjustment based on a workplace rule interpretation across all of our jurisdictions. We decided to take that approach and pay retroactively. That was a charge in the quarter as well. So those kind of, I'm calling them unique because I see them as non-recurring, but they are things that happen in your business from time to time. And this was a quarter and we had a couple of those things affect our northern business. And then combined, the liquor store in Alaska took the wind out of some of the sales that we had going on in those jurisdictions. The final banner that I'll comment, of course, is Giant Tiger. Giant Tiger was an improved quarter for us. We had an improved bottom line. We had declining top line by design. We've taken a different stance. We had been extremely promotional last year, trying to drive food sales-related traffic. We've shifted gears. We're more, I say, strategic, but more tactical with our promotional pricing, recognizing that the large percentage, 3/4 of our footsteps going through the door, are going to buy fashion and hard goods and not buy food anyways. And those customers were very successful for us. It helped to have warm weather, of course, but our seasonal sales were very strong in hard goods and soft goods. So we had a very good offset there to the food sales, which were down, and which really dragged down the food comp for Canada. And we're okay with some of that happening into the second half, and we'll keep recalibrating to make sure we maintain the price offer, but not chase dollars that aren't going to convert into a sales basket that's got hard goods and soft goods in any event. And these are all lessons learned as we continually refine our Giant Tiger offer. We do expect to see a little more inflation and some margin relief just looking at our price, checking what's going on more broadly in discount retail, at least in Western Canada. So there could be some margin expansion there as those pass-throughs take place. We tend to be a price follower at the discount end, so we'll see that take place as well. So those are overall the big sort of the big events in the quarter. There was stock-based comp that affected the report EBITDA, but we don't really it's not a controllable by management. I have mentioned, I think, before that we've adjusted our comp program on a go-forward basis so that the nature of those instruments will not be marked to market to the same degree. But these are all legacy ones, so we're still going to have a carry-forward of volatility, unfortunately, until these options and PSUs expire and run out over the next 2-3 years. Comment on North Star Air. I mentioned as well, besides RTW down here in BVI, our NSA business met expectations in the quarter, ramping up very fast, putting our two ATRs in the air. Some glitches in Thompson. I had forecasted or predicted that our Thompson base would be fully operational. It was not. We're still waiting for pavement to be completed, which has impaired our ability to fully use the base and not having to shunt cargo from two different locations onto our planes. The timing for that is now the end of next week at the latest, and then it'll be all about optimization. But we've fully moved the routing that we had planned to move to NSA from other carriers. We are improving frequency. With the Thompson base fully operational, we expect all the elements to be in place in terms of consistency and predictability with our stores. But overall, the fundamental economics of NSA are coming true as we had planned, and we're looking forward to a much more normalized third and fourth quarter with the base operational, and then just day-to-day optimization of our carrier operations through NSA. So that's where NSA sits. I'm just trying to skip through and see if I missed anything else. I think I'm usually starting Canada, but this time I started in the Caribbean. I think I've worked backwards through the highlights. I'm going to ask you, John, whether I've missed anything that you think should have been put into my comments. Okay, thank you. I wasn't trying to miss that. We did not increase the dividend. We declared a dividend, but we did not, and it's the same dividend as the prior quarters. Just a bit of color on that. I mean, I talked about the dividend as a potential increase in September. I hope I sound positive on sales momentum, because I am. But it's still uncharted territory for us. The kind of the quarter that we've come out of with these expense items in front of, behind us now, but having incurred them, certainly we looked at it and thought it just doesn't feel like it should be a dividend increase quarter with the EBITDA down 1.9%. We outlook a much stronger EBITDA, but we also look at the past, and it's you can call it a comfort level, call it what you want. When we put all those elements together, putting the dividend up a cent or two right now for us wasn't necessary, and we want to tie it to a little more proven performance. Of course, NSA is a full quarter to show us that. I mean, they didn't have a full quarter of it this quarter because of the timing, but they will next quarter. The fact we're going to have some easy comps against these other events from last year is not going to be part of the equation. It's going to be more bringing home the performance we expect from Northern Canada and ensuring that our Alaska performance is solid. Stability in Giant Tiger one way or another is a positive. It doesn't stir the pot as much as the Northern stores do. So we want to see more of that, and then we'll assess it again. Likely not as a change in terms of a movement in dividend until the end of the year now. Again, this is unusual for us to go this long, but the performance is what it is. I'm expecting that if we look at the dividend moving, it'll be after year end. Okay. Operator, that's the end of my comments, and if you could open the call for questions, that would be great. Thanks.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name and company name before posing your question. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will go ahead and take our first question. As a reminder, please state your name and company before posing your question.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Stephen McLeod from BMO Capital Markets.
Hello.
Good morning. I just want to make sure I'm getting through there. I just had a couple questions here. I just wanted to zero in a little bit on the NSA business. And, you know, obviously that was a bit of a loss. And in Q1, I think the ramp-up was sort of taking a bit more expensive than you thought, or taking a bit longer than you thought. Can you just give an update as to where you are operationally in terms of the new planes and then the base that you put into place?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard, Stephen, I mentioned the Thompson base has There's the apron is not paved, so we have some we're below capacity in the use of the base right now. The planes are fully operational. We're incurring more labor. There's a bit of disruption on the way we bring. Basically, these are trucks coming overnight from Thompson, and they're staged and brought over, and the time, being able to get those planes flying 24/7 with the base set up the way it is, there's been a bit of a backlog on freight. That's a store service level issue. I mean, some stores would be probably a little more upset than I'm sounding right now, but from a revenue standpoint of NSA and its contribution to the quarter, it was about where we expected it to be, and now next quarter we'll expect it to be exactly where it was planned. So there's two parts to that. One is it going to be financially contributing? Yes, it's there now. But B, is it at full operational effectiveness? I'm going to say no until the end of next week, and then there's probably some fine-tuning.
Okay. And then what's the process in terms of getting it fully operational? Is it just a matter of running freight through it at 100%, and how long does that sort of take?
Yeah, so by next Friday we have the base fully operational. After that, I mean, as far as optimization, and now I'm talking about store service levels and scheduling, like we do have our stores receiving freight all night, and that's part of our plan. But the scheduling of that has to be seamless because we're talking about people's lives and their work schedules. And we've had more changes to schedules than we wanted to see. And I draw that back to the Thompson base. And I think there's, again, some growing pains, and we're taking a business that's going from $35 million to $90 million in sales almost overnight. And the ramp up there has been not without growing pains. So I know the NSA team's on top of all that. So it's a time thing. And to answer your question, I mean, we would have liked it to be in August, but it looks like September is our fully functioning month for operational effectiveness and financial contribution.
Yeah, okay. And I guess in the period where it's ramping up, including this quarter, is there any disruption that you can attribute to any top-line sales being missed?
I can say it's the length of the store manager's working day. If we change arrival times several times, and the store manager has to come in at 3 in the morning and expected to come in at 11, or has to schedule his staff to receive freight, reschedule them. That's the kind of thing we are getting from third-party carriers, so we don't want to do that to ourselves. That's getting better, but I wouldn't say top line. There's a couple markets where it would show up in the variance reports, but not enough that you'll hear me talk about that being a factor.
Right. Okay. That's great. And then just secondly, just on the St. Martin store, which I think, has been operational or should be operational this month. Can you just give an update on how that is coming along?
Okay. I don't know if you heard did you hear my opening remarks, dude? Sorry.
I missed a bit of it. Sorry, I dialed in.
Oh, you did. Okay, I did start with the Caribbean, and I mentioned that we had the opening on Saturday. So now we're up with Freeze and Chill and the entire store, general merchandise, and great opening. We're now 4 days in, and sales are trending 4 days.
All right.
Great sales. Very welcome back in the community. I mean, this is a community that's still rebuilding. Does not have all the retail square footage it had before. I think we're the first store actually to get back into operation that was significantly damaged, so believe it or not, a year later. But now it's open and we're off to the races.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. I did miss your commentary on that, so I appreciate it.